Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining me on the Go and Teach radio program. My name is Ryan Goodwin. I preach for the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, "The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Chrysostom called patience the queen of virtues, and there's an old Dutch proverb that says, "A handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains." Even Shakespeare once observed, "How poor are they that have not patience? What wound did ever heal but by degrees?" And William Pitts, who was once Prime Minister of England, when asked the first qualification of being Prime Minister, said, "Patience." The second, "Patience." The third, "Patience." While many people in our culture fail to practice patience, I think we're all very familiar with the term itself. The dictionary defines it as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity, and able or willing to bear. Now, when you read the word patience in the Bible, though, in the New Testament in particular, we find that there are actually several different words that are translated into English as patience. The first Greek word is hupomone, and it's usually rendered patience in the New Testament, although Thayer defines the word, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to the faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. But there's another synonym for this in the Greek, called macrothumia, and this word is sometimes rendered as long-suffering. And as Thayer puts it here, patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. Baxter defines it as patience or patient enduring of evil, fortitude, slowness of avenging injuries, long-suffering, forbearance, clemency, patient expectation. So when you put all of this together, you see that the idea behind patience is steadfastness or endurance. It's the ability to wait. But what does this have to do with the Bible? And is it really a problem if I don't practice patience in my life? What if I'm just impatient by nature? Can I just write that off as simply a character trait of mine? Or can I just dismiss it as if it's a good quality by calling myself a go-getter? Well, when you read in the New Testament, you see that patience is actually required of us. Turn to the second epistle of Peter in the New Testament here, and notice what Peter has to say here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. "Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But patience is also mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 that we're supposed to seek after it, to pursue it. As he tells us to flee from these things, you man of God, that is sinful things, the love of money, for example, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Perseverance, that's the word that we're looking for there. That's patience, isn't it? the ability to persevere, the ability to wait, the ability to endure and to be steadfast. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says that part of our existence as Christians is defined by our patience. He says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Again, that word endurance is the same word there for patience. We're to run with patience, the race that is set before us. You know what I like about that? I like the idea there that we're supposed to run a race with patience. Now, this analogy really speaks to me because I've run quite a few races in my life. I've been running ever since I was in middle school, after all, and I've done everything from the 5K to the full marathon now. But one thing about racing that you have to learn is patience. Sometimes you see people at the starting line who are so eager to go, so excited to begin the race, that as soon as the gun fires, they set off at their fastest pace possible. They're gunning it. But you see those people a mile, 2 miles, sometimes less than that, into the race, and they're gassed. They weren't patient. And just like in a marathon, the race of life requires patience from us also. We have to run with patience the race that is set before us. Great application, then, to marriage. Running with patience in your marriage. How about with your kids? Running with patience when you're dealing with your kids. Patience in the church. Patience in evangelism. Patience as people grow into a new role, whether it's at your job or in a leadership position in the congregation. Patience in life. That's the only way that you're going to get to the finish line, my friends. And yet, for as noble as patience is, don't we all feel an affinity for the little girl who once went fishing, and after getting no bite on the end of the line for quite a while, she threw her pole down impatiently and said, "I quit." And when asked what the matter was, she responded, "I can't seem to get waited on." Now, that's a silly old story, I know, but perhaps that's a little too real for you. I know from my own life, whenever we take our kids out to a restaurant, I hear the phrase, "When is our food coming?" just a little too often for my preference. Or maybe when you've been on a long road trip, you've heard a time or two the phrase, "Are we there yet?" Patience is a very difficult concept to master. So let's consider some biblical examples of patience. Let's begin with the idea that God is patient. Because if all of our greatest qualities come from God, if He is the originator of our character and our nature, at least in an ideal sense, then surely God is also patient. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Open up your Bibles here in the New Testament to Romans chapter 15, and notice Romans 15 verse 5. "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I like the idea there that patience comes from God. May the God who gives perseverance grant that same mind to you. And it's not just that God is the author of patience. He didn't invent patience. It's simply a part of His character. It's who He is. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Also notice two great verses out of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, speaking of the judgment, it says that the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He goes on to say later on in chapter 3 and verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation." Isn't that interesting? The patience of our Lord is salvation, that He is so patient with us. The atheist Bob Ingersoll once defied God in public, saying, "I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I've said." Now the audience waited breathlessly as he held up his watch. Women fainted as the time almost expired. At the expiration of the 5 minutes, he put his watch back in his pocket. So when an old preacher was asked his reaction to the matter, he said, "Did Ingersoll think he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in 5 minutes?" Christ is also patient. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of God," according to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. How patient was Christ with his sometimes, really often, slow to learn and believe disciples? We can see examples of that in John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, or in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Charles Spurgeon said, "The disciples of a patient Savior should learn to be patient themselves." And I think that's a really great quote, by the way. That there were times during the ministry of Jesus where he had to deal with a lot of ridiculous things. Peter frequently didn't understand what Jesus was saying. James and John at one point asked Jesus permission to bring down fire from heaven to judge one particular town. In his exasperation, Jesus once lifted his eyes to the heavens and said to his Father, "How long must I endure this?" Now he endured it because he loved his disciples, just as he loves us even though we fail him so frequently. And every time we sin, Jesus is patient with us. And every time we delay, Jesus is patient with us. And every time we need a little more time to study, he's patient with us. But even though patience defines Jesus as well as it does the Father, let's understand that that patience has a limit. One day the patience will run out. One day our opportunity to act upon that patience, to respond to that patience with obedience, is going to be closed. The opportunity will disappear. God is patient with us for sure, and he has put up with a lot, and he continues to put up with a lot. And until the judgment day, he will continue to put up with even more from an unbelieving and adulterous generation. But let's not make it our goal in life to find the end of that patience. Let's not make it our goal in life to see just how far we can push God. The atheist gave God 5 minutes to strike him dead. And at the time, God declined the offer. But there will come a time in everybody's life where we won't be able to make jokes about God's patience anymore. In addition to God the Father and Christ the Son being patient, we also see that there are Old and New Testament examples of patience. James 5 and verse 10 mentions the patience of the prophets. And of course, James 5 verse 11 mentions Job as being very patient. I think all you have to do is read a few chapters from the book of Job to realize where the term comes from, the patience of Job. But in the New Testament, Paul mentions his patience in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. "But you followed my teaching," he writes, "conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance." The Apostle John mentions in Revelation 1 verse 9, patience. The church in Ephesus, Revelation 2 verses 2 and 3. The church in Thyatira, Revelation 2 verse 19. And the church in Thessalonica as well, as you can read in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. And 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. These are all great examples of patience. So what are some of the areas that we need to exercise patience in a better way? Well, the first is this. We need to be patient with ourselves. We need to not go to pieces every time something falls apart in our lives or that we do something wrong. We need to be patient with ourselves in sickness, in reverses, in our failures. Two, we should be patient with ourselves in developing spiritual maturity. It's just not going to happen overnight. So if you've been a Christian for a very short amount of time, don't be surprised that there are still things in the Bible that you find challenging, that there are questions that you still don't have answered, that there are things about God, his nature, his character, his qualities, or stories from the Bible about God that you find confusing or even vexing. Life is a process. Growth as a Christian is a process. And it's a process that's not going to happen overnight. My friends, I've known people who've been Christians for 50 years, And they still say there are things in life that they're honing, learning, ways that they're maturing and growing, and concepts from the Bible that they're still struggling with, or at the very least, still exploring with an open mind and an eagerness to keep growing. That is the wonderful thing about life. That is the wonderful thing about the Christian journey. Becoming a Christian is not just one thing that you do. It's not just one moment in life. Becoming a Christian is not the same thing as winning an award, an isolated incident that stands on its own for the rest of time, that sits in a trophy case. No, becoming a Christian is a process. And the reward for all of our labors and all of our endurance and all of our patience does not come until the very end of that process, when we leave this life and go on to the next. After all, you didn't learn how to walk overnight, did you? Or talk? Or drive a car? You think the process of becoming a strong, mature Christian is going to be any easier than that? We need to practice patience in our homes. Husbands and wives should be patient with one another. Neither should expect perfection from the other. Understanding should be the rule in the home. Particularly, young couples should exercise patience while the two of them are blending their lives into one. The exercise of patience will avoid divorces and conflicts. Parents should also use patience in dealing with their children. Parents should remember that they're just children. They should never expect a man's head on a child's shoulders. As one poet said, "Oh, give me patience when little hands tug at me with ceaseless small demands. Oh, give me gentle words and smiling eyes, and keep my lips from hasty, sharp replies. Let me not in weariness, confusion, or noise obscure my vision from life's few fleeting joys. Then, when in years to come my house is still, no bitter memories its rooms may fill." I'll admit that this is one that I've struggled with recently. I have 3 small children, and I love them dearly. I would give my life for them. But being a parent is not just about offering to give your life in one great moment. Being a parent is the daily struggle. Being a parent is not about the big deeds, but the little deeds. It's being patient right now. Maybe it doesn't involve giving your life, and most of us, if not all of us listening to this radio program today, are not going to be required to give our lives for our children. So that grandiose promise of "I would die for my kids" seems a little bit empty if you're not willing to live for your kids every single day. Something I need to practice. Small children, they're beautiful, they're innocent, they don't really know any better. But they sure do push our patience to the limit, don't they? And if I can learn to be patient with small children, it will help me learn to be patient with the adults in my life as well. If I can be patient with my kids, then I can be patient with my wife as well. If I can be patient with my kids, I can be patient with people sharing the road with me who are maybe not driving as politely as they ought to be. If I can learn to be patient with my children, I can learn to be patient with a boss or with coworkers. And in at least this way, it's not just me raising my kids. They're also raising me. I'm teaching them to grow up, but they're also teaching me to be a grown-up. Moving on from that, we also need to practice patience in soul winning. C.F. Kettering said, "You can send a message around the world in 1/7 of a second, yet it may take years to push an idea through a 1/4 inch of human skull." Remember Noah, the patient preacher before the flood. The man had decades, decades to be a witness to God's wrath. And yet, even with all of that time, he only managed to convince his immediate family to join him on the ark. Aquila and Priscilla, great people from the book of Acts, They exercised patience in teaching a man named Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Apollos, who was very knowledgeable, was nevertheless misinformed about one aspect of his faith. And Aquila and Priscilla, they didn't rake him over the coals. They didn't embarrass him in public. They didn't call into question his intellect or his motives. They just patiently taught him the gospel in a more precise manner. Ministers of the gospel are to do their work with all long-suffering, all patience, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Oftentimes, after a person is baptized into Christ, a loved one will say, "Well, I've been waiting years and years for this." Patience had to be exercised in that case. Elders are to be patient in the fulfilling of their soul-saving responsibilities. After outlining several responsibilities of those who are over us in the Lord, Paul exhorts, "Be patient toward all men," 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 14. And since there will be so many things to tax the patience of elders and preachers, this exhortation is so appropriate. As elders in the congregation work towards strengthening the souls of young Christians, they must exercise patience. They have to give time for growth. Just like we said earlier with our children, they're not going to grow up overnight. And just like we have to have a realistic expectation for ourselves and our growth, our elders need to have a realistic expectation for the growth of the flock. And going right along with this, we need to be patient regarding church growth, as in numerical growth. The best fruit tends to ripen the slowest. You can't plant corn in the morning and have roasting ears for dinner. Anything worthwhile, my friends, takes patience. So let's keep something in mind here when it comes to church growth. We need to be careful not to fall for the get-rich-quick scheme approach to church growth. Sometimes that kind of mushroom growth, where there's just really quick, sudden growth as a result of a compromise that we've made or a gimmick that we've instituted somehow, that's not really substantial growth. That's not growth that's going to stick around. Those are not church members who are there for the long haul. Those are church members, like in John chapter 6, who are there for the food. They're there for the free stuff, the gimmicks. And if people are converted, even if you can use the term converted in that sense, but if people are converted because of gimmicks, well, all it takes is just another gimmick, the next religious fashion trend, to convert them to something else. According to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, it is God who causes the growth. God causes the increase. Now, we plant, and somebody else might come along and they water. But it's God who causes the growth. God doesn't ask us to grow the church. God simply asks us to stick to His word, to preach the gospel without compromise, and to practice our Christianity in a way that is fitting and appropriate and follows the pattern of the New Testament. And if we do what is right and plant the seed of the word of God, then God will cause growth. And that means that when growth does happen, I don't get to take special credit for it. And when growth doesn't happen, as long as I'm doing the right thing, as long as I have done everything I can, then I don't have to sit and live in guilt or blame myself that growth isn't happening. God causes the growth. Let Him be God. Let Him do what God does best. So with our last minute here, I just want to ask, how is patience produced, or how is patience acquired? Well, according to Romans 15, verse 4, God's word produces patience. As we study and meditate upon the sacred principles, well, patience will be the natural result. But tribulation also works patience. Romans 5, verse 3, or in James 1, verses 2 through 4. We should pray for patience, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11. And let's also remember that hope, my friends, hope produces patience. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, that as faith finds expression in work and love in labor, so hope expresses itself in patience. And finally, my friends, Hebrews 6, verse 12 says that we inherit the promises through faith and patience.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.